and I shared this with my wife, like, I felt like I had a word, and then yesterday it was gone, like nothing. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And I tried to remake it up in my head, and I tried this, and I tried, and I just, and honestly, I don't think I have anything right now yet either, you know? So be patient with me. I don't want to try and, sorry for the word, pussyfoot through it. Sorry for the word, but I want to try and, it's not a word, just made it up. So I don't want to walk through it by chance. I want to really see what God has to say this morning. And I'm sorry, it's just, I'm nervous if you can't tell. But so I'm going to pray and I'm just going to try and go from there. So Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we know that you are always with us. It's what your word says. And we're a people that live by your word. So we trust you, Lord, that you are always with us, near us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, your word says too that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. Lord, so even if we don't know, your word too says that we should be prepared in season and out of season. So in this moment, God, I pray and I ask that we would be in season to hear what it is you are saying. I ask for ears to be opened. God, I ask for hearts to be able to receive what it is you are saying. Lord, you know my heart. I don't have anything, so I just, it's on you, Lord. So I just ask that you would just anoint this time. Just anoint this time, God. I pray that you would just, that the word spoken would just come as truth and clarity, and it would just go forth and accomplish the things you've said for it to do. So I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I do know is I'm going to start in John 5. We all know this story. It's the man at the pool of Bethesda, right? We know the story. So I'm going to just read it and go from there and see what God has to say, because I know what I can say. So John 5, starting verse 2, I'm reading out of the message. It said, Soon another feast came around and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool in Hebrew called Bethesda with five alcoves. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were in these alcoves. One man had been an invalid there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he was there, or had been there, he said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. But by the time I get there, somebody else is already in." Jesus said, "Get up and take your bedroll, start walking." Then the man was healed on the spot. He picked up the bedroll and walked off. And it says that happened on the Sabbath. So then if you read on, the leaders of that day got mad because Jesus is performing something on the Sabbath, right? So I want to talk about pain this morning. We all go through pain. We all have things in our life. And pain could be anything. It could be physical pain. It could be emotional pain. We all carry pain, right? So there's four things that I feel that pain does in the natural, right? I've heard somebody say that pain is never the problem. Pain is never is rarely the problem. It's just a symptom, right? Pain is not a problem. It's just a symptom. Pain leads us to a source of the problem. That's why I heard a message that was spoken, and Chris Volatin was talking about in the earlier days, him and Bill Johnson, they were home alone, the wife was away, and Bill called him with excruciating pain. And so Chris went over to Bill's house and he took him to the hospital. And then when they got there, they put Bill on a gurney and the doctors eventually came, and Chris asked the doctor, "Hey, would you give him something for the pain?" And he says, "No, no, 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 no. The pain is actually going to show us the source, where the problem is. So I thought that was kind of neat. So pain leads us to a source of a problem, right? The level of our pain do not always determine the depth of the problem. The level of our pain do not always determine the depth of our problem. And the example that I'm trying to use here is, there are times that I cut wood and I try and make a little fire at home and I get a splinter like in my hand and I think I'm dying, right? Because the pain is telling me I'm going to die, but it's not really anything. It's just suck it up, pull it out, and you'll be okay, right? So the pain doesn't always determine the depth of the problem. But sometimes when something happens to us dramatically or something and we are in pain, we try and ignore it, right? So ignoring the pain doesn't mean it's going to get better. At 99.9% it's going to get worse. If you don't attend to the pain, it's going to get... If you ignore pain, it's going to continue to happen. And we were talking about pulling a tooth or... I've got a toothache. So the example is, you know, if I ignore the pain, if I ignore toothache and I just take an Advil or something throughout the day, you know, if I ignore that and just keep on doing that, eventually I'm going to get dentures or something's going to happen to my tooth. So it's still going to happen. It's just I shouldn't ignore the pain. So back to the man of at the pool. So Jesus walked up to him and all of a sudden Jesus asked him this weird question, strange question. Do you want to get healed? And this man is like, I've been here for 38 years. What do you think? What do you think? I want to get healed, right? I want to get healed. And but when Jesus asked him the question, he came with a response of, but this is why I'm not healed. This is why, this is the thing that keeps him in his pain. As his answer, the sick man said, sir, when the water is stirred, I do not have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in, right? So here he's saying to Jesus, this is what's happening, but on the back end of it, there's hopelessness there, right? There's hopelessness. He comes with hopelessness, and that's why I can't get healed. So Jesus asked him this profound question, and all he had to say was yes, right? That's all we have to say is, do we want to get healed? Yes. But we make these things up, and we make these things up in our minds, and we're so hopeless. There's hopelessness creeping in, you know. So we reduce our lives to a place where we allow pain to come in, and we'll just make it a friend, and we'll cope further in life, and we'll just go with it. And Jesus said, no, that's not you. You weren't created to live in that place. You were created to be healed. So many people nowadays, or I've done it before, we go to doctors and we go to people that we feel like has a healing gift and we think things like that. And we go and we're anticipated to get healed, but we go into the situation with no hope. You know, we go in with hopelessness and we're like, okay, yeah, I want to get healed, but if I don't, it's okay. It's not on you, it's on God. And, you know, we come up with these stories, you know. But... So we reduce the pool, the promise of healing. We reduce the promise, the pool of healing, to a pallet of pain. So we come in expected, but we don't come in expected. We just like, okay, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So we numb the pain, right? So if it doesn't happen, we numb everything. Does it make sense what I'm saying so far? Because it feels like I'm rambling. That's what it does. So... But in any case, so we reduce our lives to accommodate the pain, to live with it, right? So this man lived with this for 38 years. And we all do that. We all have our seasons where we live in pain, or pain and the emotion of pain and everything goes in. So so then when we get to the pool and we just, day in and day after, we see people get healed, so we become spectators. And we see people get healed and we get more and more hopeless, right? We just look at it. And then Jesus comes and, or somebody comes and says, hey, do you want to get healed? Like, duh, that's why I'm here. But, you know, it's probably not for me. It's not for me. It's not this. It's not, you fill in the blank. So then Chris Volatin says, we can't always help what happens to us, right? When Jesus asks us this question, do you want to get healed? Chris Volleton has a saying, he says, we can't always help what happens to us. We can't help being in an accident. We can't help being brought up by psycho parents. We can't help those things in life. And we need to get to a place where we're okay with that. But he says what we can help is what happens inside of us, right? So that's a choice. We have to take it on and say, okay, what is God asking me? Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? So this man's response to the word Jesus asked him, take up your bedroll and walk, brought healing through the pain. You know, so this man all of a sudden accepted or walked into his pain where Jesus met him and healed him. Because Jesus doesn't come and numb the pain. Jesus heals our pain, right? So yes, what I have felt like the Lord is saying the pathway through pain, the pathway how to get through this season of pain, through this, because pain is a season, it's not a lifestyle, right? Because if you ask people, you know, people would say, yeah, I've been in warfare for 5 years and it's still been going on. And warfare is only for a season, you know, and if you go on for 5 years, that becomes a lifestyle. So then you choose to live in that lifestyle, right? Something for a season, there's something for a season, and after a season, there's breakthrough, right? If we continuously keep our eyes focused on the Lord, there's breakthrough. And when we invite Him into the pain that we've just stepped into, there's breakthrough, because there's a promise. If you go through pain with Christ, there's always a promise at the end of it. If you invite God into your pain and you step into the pain with Him and you feel the emotions and you feel what you need to feel, the promise is that you will get healed, right? The promise is you will get healed. Now, if you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't negate that the promise is true. So the first thing, pathway through pain, is plain and simple. Trust God, right? You trust God. You know, James 1 talks about the testing. But what James 1 talks about is the testing of your faith, right? You trust God. I know it's hard at times, but you trust God, right? You grab onto God. And you declare that this pain with God in it will have a promise at the end of it. You declare that. You say that. Right? And it doesn't always, you know, we la 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 through things. No, but this is when you declare something, you actually speak right into the midst of it. This is what is going to happen. Like David, he had to face Goliath. We have to face our Goliaths at times. We have to step in there and say, you know what, big boy? You're going down. Not by my might, but the one who's with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? So today I want to say get your hope up, because there's hope. There's something in this that I don't know if I'm speaking to one person, five people, or just to myself. But I know we need to hear this. You need to trust God in your moment of pain. You know, the second thing, the pathway through pain, is He's given us tools to go through this. And the one I want to pull out was our weapons of warfare. 2 Corinthians 2:10. I want to read that quickly. You know, and I'm probably saying things that you guys already know. But sometimes it's good to hear things again, you know. So 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3, it says, and again, I read the message. The word is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fighting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstacle and building lives. Sorry, let me read that again. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Now, in the new translation, it says, it talks about three fortresses there, right? It talks about our this is what we fight against, our thoughts, speculations, and lofty things, right? So the second thing with our pathway through, anything that we make, the word lofty is making something above, right? That's my understanding. It's, if it's lofty, it's above something. So anything that we make above God is a lofty thing. So we need to take our weapons and we need to bring that down, right? Lofty thing is saying it is bigger than God. We use our weapons. We've given the pathway through this is God has given us a sheath and he said, hey, this is your tool bag. These are your weapons to fight against thoughts, speculations, and lofty things. Thoughts that comes against us. Speculations, well, this is the pain, but I think this is the problem, or this is we're trying to look for problems that's not there. The pain will steer us to a place where the problem is. So he's given us these weapons to help us. And the third thing is, I feel like is we need to develop a culture around us that is healthy, right? Wholesome. Because if I'm in pain, who do I call? If I got a cold, who do I call? The next door neighbor that's got a cold. And he's going to tell me he's so sick, but you know who else is sick? This guy over here. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, I got a group call of sick people. Like, yeah, I'm so sick, you know. And we bring one another down. Proverbs 25:20 says, Proverbs 25, verse 20. It says, singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather and pouring vinegar on it. You know? So you keep company with wrong people. You know, if somebody is hurting, you know, you're like, well, I'm hurting too. This has happened. And the next thing you know, you got all these people around you. And then you see somebody that is in a healthy place of their lives. And you're like, well, he probably did something. And you kind of make a case against them, right? So you get the idea. You become negative. So you wanna cultivate a healthy wholeness culture around you. Then sometimes we have to ditch some people in our lives, right? When we get into those. It's just true. It's one thing that Chris Volatin, I love what he says, is sometimes we need to ditch people. And not because of to ditch people and throw them away. It's just for a season we need to get rid of that negativity, that those people around us that's in the same pain as us, that will keep us in that place. We need to get rid of those people. And we need to invite people into our lives that is whole and that is healthy, right? So Proverbs 25:19 says, putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking on a lame foot, right? So we don't want these people in our lives. We have to get rid of these people for a season, you know. And if the season, we come through the season whole and healthy, you know, we might be able to minister to them, right? So being in pain, being miserable is common. It's not normal, right? But we've changed that around. We've made miserable being in pain normal. It's not normal. It's common, right? Because Jesus said, if you go to the, I am the healer. I am the physician, right? Sometimes we go to the doctor. Or sometimes we don't go to the doctor because we say, Jesus is going to heal me. And there are places and there are people that does that, and that's great. But I think sometimes we don't go to the doctor, or we don't go to the psychiatrist, we don't go to these people because we're afraid of what they're going to tell us, right? There's fear of, oh, I'm in already in pain, but there could be more stuff added onto this. So we're fearful of what they're going to say, and that's why we stay away from doctors, physicians. We stay away from Jesus that heals us because we think he's going to tell us something more that's wrong with us rather than help us through this, right? Cancer. Cancer is common. It's not normal, right? And I've seen cancer healed here in our own church. I've seen that. Nobody can take it away from me. I've seen it, right? I've seen somebody raised from the dead. That's not common. Death is common. It's not normal, right? Because we will live forever. That's what Jesus said. So, but he has a truth in this. This is what God says about developing this around you. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eat or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what a healthy culture looks like. Then last but least, another verse on that would be Psalms 23. We all know the Psalms. But it says, I think it's verse 6, it says, and though I would walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Jesus said to walk through the pain. Walk through. Take step into the pain and walk through the pain. He didn't say build your house there. He didn't say set up camp there. He said walk through the pain. You know, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard to face things in life and trying to step in there and get healed. But that's the encouragement that I want to bring today. There's hope. You can do that. You can do that. You know, Jesus said in Psalms 23, build your house by the green pastures, right? Build your house over here. Don't build your house in the valley of the shadow of death, right? So saying all of that this morning, I just want to, you know, we have a culture, we are developing a culture here where we aren't looking down at people that's in pain. We want to come around people and lift them up and walk them, help them walk through that, you know. But the first step is on us. You know, if we've been in pain for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 4 months, whatever the case may be, let's step into that. Let's say to that Goliath guy, I'm taking you down. This is time that this needs to get dealt with. You know what I mean? Step into it, feel it, own it. You know, own it. That doesn't sound great. Don't own it. It's not yours. But step into it, feel it. Feel what you need to feel and allow God to deal with the rest. You know? And the rest is, He's given us a place where there's healthy culture. He's given us tools to fight this off, and he's given us a faith, and he's testing our faith in this. So I hope this makes sense. I hope this is something that speaks to your heart this morning. Like I said, I felt like this is what God was saying. I'm not saying this is what the Lord says. I just felt like he pressed that on my heart. So the encouraging thing about this is to step into your pain. It's not yours. Allow him to help you go through it and not numb it. Let him help you heal it and not numb it. So, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you sometimes, Lord, you are bigger than what we think you are. Lord, we don't want to make things bigger than what you are. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us if we've done that. I know I've done that. Lord, and just show us the reality of the vastness, the bigness of who you are. Lord, as we move forward and we are each and everyone going through our own stuff, Lord, I choose today, Lord, to step into what I'm facing. And I'm inviting you to come in and heal that, Lord, and not numb it up. Just thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you are doing. Lord, and I just ask that you would bless each and everybody here, that you would bless those ones that haven't made it today, whatever the situation is, that you would just keep your head of protection over them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.